I know I say this probably every time I do this, but I love doing these affirmations to kick off the episodes. Now they bring such a better vibe to the episode, just rather than me rambling about nothing in the beginning. So today's affirmation is, my body and mind are healthy and vibrant. What is up, guys? Welcome back for another Thursday of Raising Serotonin. I hope you are doing well on this Thursday. Happy Thursday. I actually used to love Thursdays so much. Not that I don't not love Thursdays, but Friday, you know, it's just feeling better now. I just love a good Friday. Thursdays are great too, don't get me wrong. But today's episode was brought upon us by my lovely with a capital L, long-lasting anxiety that I had on Monday, this past Monday. Long story short, basically I just did a lot of things over the weekend that I don't normally do, and I didn't give myself enough time to just relax and spend time with myself. I recharge by alone time and spending time with Kane and Hardy, and I didn't spend enough time doing that this weekend, and I'm grateful for all of the opportunities that I got to take a part of, but I just really do need to recharge on the weekends. I spend all week working. I talk to people all week long. I'm podcasting. I'm coaching. I'm doing my full-time job. Like, there are a lot of things that I do throughout the week. So Saturdays and Sundays are my time to recharge, to get creative again, to make sure that I get enough sleep, enough water, enough food. Of course, I do that all throughout the week, but during the week, it's just a little different than the weekend. So I just had a lot of anxiety, and it happens, okay? Like, I'm human. The difference between old Sam and new Sam is I don't think I ever would have been able to pinpoint what was going on with my anxiety, why I was feeling a certain way. And I was right on point. At least I believe that this is why I don't feel anxious anymore. I did some journaling, I talked it out, and we're going to talk about 7 ways that I have been learning to cope over the last 3 years in therapy, specifically learning how to cope. Of course, prior to therapy and growing through a lot of seasons, I learned different things, but there is definitely a right way and a wrong way to cope. I say that kind of gently because I don't want people to think that what they're doing is specifically wrong. I don't want you to think that, but I want us to heal ourselves rather than hurt ourselves, and there are some bad coping mechanisms out there. I'm sure drugs and alcohol are probably the ones that come to your mind, same as me, but that's not what we're talking about today. I'm glad that we get to talk about healthy coping mechanisms because I didn't have them for a very long time. I would just lash out. I would sit there and not want to do any of the hard work, because who really wants to do the hard work? No one. It's uncomfortable and tiring and your energy gets drained. But it was nice to be able to figure out what was going on with my mind and my body and my soul, rather than just asking why was I feeling like that, just saying the words like, what is going on with me, why do I feel like this? I actually like annoy myself sometimes because I have the tools, I have the resources, I'm the example sometimes, yet I still forget to take deep breaths, literally like 1, 2, 3 in, 1, 2, 3 out, before I do anything and or make decisions or talk about certain things or do certain things, whatever. But that is really why I want to talk about this today and coping with the anxiety that I specifically had on Monday. Because, of course, if there is anyone new listening, hi, welcome. I love that you're here. Let me know that you're a new listener. You follow me on Instagram, DM me. I'm always in there. We're always talking, all things. But I am not a licensed professional in the mental health world whatsoever. These are my examples, my experiences, what I have worked through, like I said, in the last 3 years of therapy. And of course, my health coaching certification has helped me combined all of them and really put an emphasis on mindset and eating good and water and getting enough sunshine and doing all of the things that the body specifically needs. It's not because I'm like, oh, yay, let me just go do all of the great things in the world. Like, sometimes I do want to veg and crash on my couch and do absolutely nothing or rot in bed, like we say nowadays. Like, absolutely, I love to do a good rot in bed. But we have to prioritize ourselves. And I've learned that rotting in bed doesn't help my anxiety. When I have an anxiety attack or I'm feeling anxious, because that's what I used to do, I would just sleep away all of the pain and avoid it. I would just avoid it in every way, shape, or form, even though it still was going through my body. I was still getting the tingles in my fingers. My chest was extremely tight. I could not shut my brain off. Every time I would move, I would literally feel like this out-of-body experience because I was not even addressing it. I wasn't talking about it. I wasn't anything. Like, I would sit with my anxiety in this little ball and just let it fester in my head to make it worse. It was like, okay, what can I do? I don't know, nothing. All right, let me just sit here. And that is not the answer, guys. It is not. And you are so much better than doing nothing. You are so much stronger than the anxiety makes you believe you are. And anxiety is a beast, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But everything that you are capable of, you are capable of. You can do this stuff. You can learn how to cope and heal and grow through the pain that you have been through. Life doesn't get easier. You get stronger. And I am going to die on that hill because life is scary and dark. And there's a lot of things that go on in this world that we have zero control over. So why don't we start controlling the things that are in front of us? Things that we can have a little bit control over. And of course, anxiety is just going to randomly come sometimes. Maybe you're on medication like I am, so it's supposed to be pretty stable. But sometimes it gets heightened. And that's because situations happen and life is unpredictable. And that is just being human. So, which leads me into how I want to start this episode, even though we're like almost 8 minutes into it. But I want to start off saying by go to therapy, period. Go to therapy. I think every single person should be in therapy or have that person in front of them that is a licensed professional that knows what they're doing and knows how to help you cope. I don't know if that is a psychiatrist for you. Maybe it's a medical professional, like a doctor that you have that relationship with that can help you grow throughout the way. But therapy, whatever it is, I believe that therapy is hands down the reason that I am any bit able to learn past what I already knew to do half the things that I am doing today mentally. Before therapy, it was just scream and cry and feel like shit and shake and not eat and just like literally lay in bed and rot and do nothing because that's what I thought would make me feel better. Last week, I had a session and she connected dots for me that I don't really know if I would have connected these dots, but it was only because I openly talked about it. I was struggling with something and I never really could understand. Like, I've talked about this before and it's something I learned in therapy that I can't question the why. But I did ask her, I was like, why would I have that reaction? Why would I do that? And I said to her, I was like, I know I don't really know. I know I don't always have to know, but this is something that I do want to work through and make better, obviously. And she connected dots for me, which obviously she always has me do, but I genuinely sitting there, like I telling my her to her, talking to her saying, I don't know, like I genuinely am confused, but she did it. She did that for me and it made me go deeper into the conversation. It was so helpful. And maybe a friend can do that for you, which would be absolutely amazing. But licensed professional is key. Sweet, sweet, sweet key there. I actually saw a tweet. Is that even what it's called anymore now that it's X? Is it still a tweet? A post? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't even matter. Anyway, I saw it and I'm going to call it a tweet. I saw a tweet and it was a picture of from SpongeBob, and I only knew it was SpongeBob because I saw it, so I'm not sure if you don't visually see it, it's okay. But it was Mrs. Puff she was like wrapped in like basically it would be like a white jacket, but I think it was just like wraps. and they were throwing her into a padded room. And the caption of the tweet was, POV, you were too honest with your therapist. I got slightly heated from that because I've heard things similar to that before, that people aren't completely honest with their therapist. What are you paying for? What are you giving them money for? This is therapy is in my bills. Like, you have your water bill, your gas bill, your rent. Yeah, those are me. And then I have therapy, like groceries, extra therapy, because it is that important to me just as much as paying my rent is, because I don't want anything living rent-free inside my head. That was a good one. I liked that one. But I really don't. I don't want anything living rent-free inside my head. I want to be on a mission. I want to be growing. I want to be learning. I want to be figuring out why I'm doing all of the things and why certain things happen the way that they do as much as I can. But tell your therapist everything. They legally cannot do anything or say anything to anyone or anything unless you are a risk to like yourself, society, or like the people around you. And then in that case, that's like just for your own safety at that point. So you should be thankful that they're doing that for you. But honestly, they're not going to put you in a padded room unless it's like, I don't even know if that's really a thing anymore. I'm not going to go down that road. But that's not what your therapist is there to do. They're not there to like institutionalize you. They're there to really help you. That's the last place that they want you to be, unless you need it, of course. But they don't want you to go there. They want you to learn how to be a human in society, because that's real life. So, moral is, be open with your therapist. Talk through your shit. It is one of the best ways to grow. If you are learning about mistakes, your past, things that you just are unsure of, you have to talk about it, because you're not gonna know. You're not gonna know anything, right? Isn't, what do they say? That the answer is always no unless you ask. Okay, well, you're not gonna know the answer unless you talk about it. My first coping mechanism today, and in the description or the caption title, whatever it's called, I have 7. So we're going to flow through those pretty quickly. But I want to start with, obviously, talking. Talking is my number one coping mechanism. Talk it through with someone that you trust. May that be your therapist, your doctor, a family friend, a friend, a family member, whatever it is, whoever it is, someone that you want to trust. Or that you do trust, not that you want to trust, you already trust. Whatever is on your mind, get it out. Get it off your mind, because it is going to sit there and you're going to spiral through the thoughts. Maybe you're better than I am and don't do that, but it's not that it's bad to talk about things. Like, I don't know where we got that mentality from. And second mechanism, that if you don't want to talk about it, okay, all right. Let's think about things first, but let's journal it out. I'm talking and journaling, get it out of your head. Don't let your mindset continue to bring you down. I know it sucks. I know writing down the way that you feel sucks, but I just get a blank sheet of paper and a pen or a pencil, whatever it is, and I just write. Like, I don't even fill it in the lines. I write in like big messy letters, like, I feel blah. Why is this blah? Like, everything that is going on, no matter if I'm gonna know the answer or not, I write it down or I talk about it, because it is the only thing that is gonna get out of my head. By saying it, getting rid of it, getting it out of where you are. I wholeheartedly believe in this, that this is really going to make you feel and bring the most calmness to you in that situation, because it's not like you're asking for opinions from people, maybe advice, whatever. You just need to get it out of your head. And in that state of like that heightened state of panic, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, talk about it. And maybe you're like me. I talk to myself sometimes, and talking out loud is a way for your brain to process things. That's not wrong. And people say like, talking to yourself is weird. Like, why are you talking to yourself? I'm just making sure it makes sense out loud and making sure that I'm sounding okay. Like, it's not anything other than that. It's not like, oh, you're crazy because you talk to yourself. Absolutely not. Probably more people than I know talk to themselves than don't. So just talk about it. Get it out of your brain. Mechanism 3. This comes from being the person who shut down completely. Like I said, I would just sleep away my anxiety. I wouldn't face it head on whatsoever. I made it that way so I didn't have to think about it. It was just easier to be asleep, to not eat, to do everything to hurt myself. but it was always there. The anxiety was always there, was still present. Even when I would wake up the next morning, it was still there. Currently, right now, I'll put it in the show notes. I am reading a book called Secrets of Serotonin. Obviously, I'm always going to be learning here new things. I love it so much. But in the book, it talks about how sunshine, specifically morning sunshine, helps with anxiety and mood disorders, depression, and so on. And what do I always tell us? I always say, what do we do when we wake up? We drink water, we move, we get some steps in, and we get sunshine. The three things in the morning. Forget the phone, forget everything else. Like obviously I do this with Hardy. I used to do it with Rocco when Rocco was here too. It would be a mission to walk steps in the morning to get the sunshine, to get the energy flowing. So mechanism number four is, when you are feeling off, anxious, whatever the word is that you are using, get outside. Or there is even something called bright light therapy. I've personally have never done it. I want to look more into it because it is really, in this book, it talked about it being used during the winter months because our serotonin is depleted during the winter. It's just a fact. It's the way that our bodies are. So if this is something that you're in an area that doesn't have a lot of sunshine or even natural light, maybe you can look into bright light therapy to raise your serotonin. The brain is really, really powerful, and I'm not sure if we even realize how powerful it is. It's a powerful machine. We need to make sure that we are at least like trying to be on its level because we want to feel good. Right? Like the brain controls everything in our body. Like this little, it's not little, but it's this organ, this thing. It's right here. It's on our heads. It's in our head and it's doing everything to keep us alive. And if we are not helping it, we are hurting it. So was that three? That was actually three. Did I say that was number four? Well, okay. That was number three. So let's review them one more time again. Number one and two. So one is talking out. Two is journaling it out. You can combine them if you would like. And number three is getting sunshine and natural sunlight, but specifically morning light to help with anxiety. And that's like obviously something that can't be done in like the immediate moment unless it is the morning time. But if it's nighttime and you're pretty anxious, just think, okay, in the morning, I'm going to wake up and get natural light as soon as like 7 a.m., 6 a.m., like get it. I'm pretty sure in the book it said between 6 and 8 a.m. or 6 and 9 a.m. are like the prime times to get that for serotonin production. All right, so number four, stay the freak off social media when you are anxious. Do not scroll. Do not go watch videos of other people and what they're doing. This will bring you nothing but more anxiety. And if you want to prove me wrong, go ahead, but no one has. Social media, when you are heightened and anxious and or depressed, social media does nothing for your brain. It does nothing. And maybe there's like a movie you can watch to calm you down, but I am specifically talking about scrolling on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Reddit, your emails, whatever social platform that you are on, get off of it right then. You do not need to spend more time scrolling where there could be something that is going to trigger you even more, or you're going to spend hours scrolling. I am guilty of this, to avoid figuring out what's really wrong and how you can feel better. Scrolling does nothing. It is a waste of time, like endlessly scrolling. Of course, if you're looking for something specific, you scrolled through Facebook to look for something. Like I'm talking about when you're sitting in your bed, your couch, on your toilet, whatever it is, and you are just mindlessly scrolling, losing attention span because of how short the videos are. I understand what it is. I get what TikTok's doing, but when you're anxious, stay off social media. Social media is tricky for me because here I am trying to post more about healing and living better, and then there's times like this when I need to say like, do not be on social media, but all of my messaging is trying to help you, and that's on social media, but I'm saying stay off social media. You know, it's just a circle. And when we really need to look inward and take the time to take care of ourselves. I don't think that social media is the answer to that. I don't think that posting is the answer. I don't think that is scrolling is the answer. So when we are not feeling our best, social media should just not be a priority. It shouldn't even be on our list of things to do. I would just really recommend staying off of it when you are feeling not your best self. My last three are pretty obvious if you know me. So of course I'm going to tell you about them. Of course I'm going to remind you about these things because that's what I do. I die on these hills, right guys? We talk about this all the time. But number five is eating good quality meals. I know it is easier to go to Wawa or a fast food chain or just get something at the grocery store that's already made. I understand that, but that is not going to make you feel better. I'm telling you. And when you're anxious, you need to eat because that's a control thing as well. You're going to control you're not eating because you're anxious. Trust me, I've been there. So we need to eat good quality foods, like make a sandwich with veggies and chips. If you have any leftovers for dinner, chips and guac, like finding like whole foods. I know chips and guac isn't the best, but guacamole, okay? Like I'm just trying to get you to understand that going to like a quick fast food place is not going to help you in any way. Like full circle moment here. What we put into our bodies is how our bodies are going to react. When we are eating bad quality food, it is going to destroy our gut. And what is our gut connected to? Our brain. Our gut is our second brain. Okay? These are full circle moments. When you are not feeling your best, figure out what you're drinking, what you're eating, who you're surrounding yourself by, because these are all things that are going to matter when you are not feeling good and you're like, holy shit, I feel like crap. There is a lot going on. There's endless thoughts in my head. This is what happens. We need to reel it back in and focus on the good things and focus on what we can control. And that is good quality meals, water intake, and surrounding ourselves with the people that love us the most. You probably know this one's coming now that I just talked about food, but move your body. Move. Like seriously, you have to go and move when you are anxious. Sometimes I feel like lifting. Sometimes I feel like walking. More times than not, if it's nicer out and like the weather, I'm not literally snowing, raining, freezing cold. Even when it is like pretty cold, I will bundle up and get sunshine on my face and move my body in fresh air. All of that combination. And if you even added the beach in there, oh, it'd be amazing. But I don't live at the beach. I live in the city. So those three things can calm you down more than you even realize. And I understand that lifting weights brings me a lot of serotonin, as it would most likely for you as well. But when I'm anxious, I don't know if I want to lift in that moment. And I don't want you to ever put yourself in the position where you say, like, when I'm anxious, I must lift weights or I must go for a walk. Just feel it out. If you want to lift, go lift. If you want to cycle, go cycle. If you want to walk, bike, dance, whatever it is. Have the options ready for you. Know what you like and what makes you feel good, because it's going to just make you feel better. And if you have options, you can say, okay, which one do I have to do today? Or not have to, which one do I get to do today? Figure out which part of it brings you the most joy. And when you're anxious, try it out. See if it makes you feel better. At least movement as in walking is going to make you feel better. I can tell you that right now. So move your body. I get anxiety comes and goes, and sometimes it hits you like a mother effing brick. Okay. But no matter what, we can be in control. We can figure out something to make us feel a little bit better. And the thing is, your mindset is actually going to lead you and at least a great deal of the time to your anxiety. So your mind is either endlessly spinning, wondering what you can do or what not to do, what will happen, XYZ. There's endless things your mind could be thinking about. But when we're putting those thoughts in our head, we need to stop. When you start feeling heightened, you start getting the tingly feelings, your chest starts to get tight, you start to get lightheaded, dizzy, stop. Breathe. And like I said before, sometimes I forget to do this, but this is like the natural thing that we need to get back to. We need to be able to breathe and just figure it out. Like anxiety is so
crazy nowadays where we're just, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You freak out. You instantly freak out. The tears start flowing. You instantly get into a bad mood, resting bitch face all over your face. We can do a little bit at a time. We can learn how to talk to ourselves kindly, talk us off a ledge, how, whatever it may be for you. Let's go full circle here. You're going to talk about it. You're going to let it out. You're going to journal it. You're going to move your body. You're going to get sunshine. You're going to eat good foods. And you're going to work through this. I understand it's not an overnight thing. Maybe it is for some people. You're just like, I just need 24 hours. But sometimes it lasts a little bit longer than that. And I want to add in here really quickly before we wrap up this episode. I had a conversation with someone on Instagram this week about controlling our alcohol intake because it was giving us anxiety and behaviors that didn't feel true to ourselves were coming to light when we were drinking. And first off, the awareness that this person has because of alcohol is amazing. Like, that awareness is not from a lot of people nowadays. Like, alcohol in America is, we abuse alcohol throughout every single event ever. And it's just, it's a really scary thing sometimes. So it was nice to know that other people have that awareness. But I want us to go to the point where it doesn't even have to be with alcohol. If something is not making you feel your truest self, then why are we doing it? And I sent her about 6 different voice messages talking about this and talking about mindset and how we can be in control of what's in front of us, even when we are drinking. And I said that you can control the alcohol. The alcohol doesn't control us. Of course, you get altered because that's what alcohol does. But drink water than more than your alcohol. Drink water in between your drinks. Eat food. Get the food there. Like, whatever it is, if it's bar food, whatever. Like, I know it's not gonna feel the best, but eating while drinking is going to help with anxiety. Stick to maybe wine or beer, or if wine or beer makes you feel a certain way, then maybe you are a liquor drinker. Like, figure it out for you, specifically for you. Don't go mixing everything. Don't go saying all the things, because it's just gonna make you not feel good. And why would you do it? Why spend a 50 minutes, Jesus Christ, like a 24 hour hangover? I don't even know where I got 50 from. But why would you spend the entire next day hungover, anxious, low, depressed, not feeling good, when you actually can control how you're gonna feel because of the way you're taking care of yourself? So I know that's not necessarily in the 7, but it does have to do with our mindset. And a lot of us do drink still. And not that I'm asking you to be sober, I'm just asking you to learn how to control your mind, your body, and your soul. We can't let things get out of control, because then we spiral. We can control our mindset, our actions, and our reactions. It's hard. Anxiety is a really scary beast. It can be a huge beast even. But I want to remind you that you are the machine. You, your body, you are the machine that gets you through life. Not the anxiety beast, not depression, not because we have to pay our bills, because we love our husband or spouse. It's because you are in control of life. This is your life and you have one of them. And you can do hard shit. Okay? Tell yourself that right now. Walking through life is hard shit. But keep doing it. You are so freaking loved here. I hope this episode was inspiring. And if you know anyone that could raise their serotonin a little bit more, send them the podcast. Send them my Instagram. Let them know that they are not alone and that other people are rooting for them. And of course, if you could go rate and review Raising Serotonin on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast at, that would help others find Raising Serotonin and help them start healing and growing their own way. I love you guys, and I will talk to you soon.